federal efforts to increase staffing in nursing homes could be a challenge for facilities in Wisconsin. It's Monday, February 19th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Danielle Kading has the details on a bill that would clear the way for PFAS standards in groundwater. And I'll speak with Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf about everything voters need to know to cast their ballot tomorrow. Stay with us.
What's going on in Wisconsin today? You find out on the Wisconsin Today podcast. This 10 minutes of regional news is supported by the people who listen. You. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Federal efforts to increase staffing in nursing homes could be a challenge for facilities here in the state of Wisconsin. But as Hope Kerwin reports, some nursing experts say changes are needed in the industry to improve conditions for both patients and employees.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services proposed a rule last fall that would establish minimum staffing levels for nurses and nurse aides at long-term care facilities. Providers would also be required to have a nurse on site at all times. Barbara Bowers from the University of Wisconsin-Madison has studied the long-term care industry. She says Wisconsin nursing homes are already struggling to recruit from a short supply of workers. But she says the industry needs to address the high rates of staff turnover, especially among certified nurse aides or CNAs.
What I hear from a lot of CNAs, really good CNAs, is they left their job because the low staffing didn't allow them to provide the care they knew people needed.
Bauer says facilities also need to update their model for providing care in order to make additional staff more effective. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin lost 10% of its farms and 30% of its dairies within just a five-year period. That's according to a new census from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, tracking changes between 2017 and 2022. The data show remaining farms have more land, higher profits, and larger herds. Julie Cowan-Bomar is the executive director of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. She says consolidation in farming has been happening for decades, and it's the result of policy choices.
There's so many people who would go into farming if they didn't have to have $1 million to either buy a farm or buy the equipment to make it work. And right now the scales are so big that it's really out of reach for many people who are interested.
There was a 16% increase over 5 years in the number of new farmers. Experts see that as an encouraging sign as the average age of farmers continues to increase. Republican lawmakers are introducing a bill that would clear the way for PFAS standards in groundwater. As Danielle Kading reports, it comes after state regulators were forced to abandon regulations late last year.
In December, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources was forced to halt work on crafting limits for PFAS due to a state law known as the RAINS Act. That law prevents agencies from moving forward with costly regulations without legislative approval. Green Bay Republican Senator Rob Coles is co-sponsoring a bill to restart the process. Coles says it makes sense to set a science-based standard for PFAS in groundwater, but he admits it's late in the legislative session.
Eventually, we could get this done, and then there'd be more certainty in how to handle groundwater going forward.
Governor Tony Evers urged Republicans to pass an exemption to the RAINS Act that would let work on the standards move forward. Democrats introduced a bill that would do just that, but it's unlikely to gain support in the GOP-controlled legislature. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The superintendent of the Green Bay School District resigned on Saturday. The decision came after controversy erupted over statements caught on a hot mic. The Green Bay School Board voted unanimously to accept Superintendent Claude Tiller Jr.'s resignation. That came during a special board meeting over the weekend. He was placed on leave last week after statements came to light that were made during commercial breaks in a radio interview. He's said to have disparaged a subordinate, teachers, and area businesses. In a statement issued over the weekend, Tiller said his comments were directed toward broader systematic issues in public education and not specific individuals. The former chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party says he feared for his family's safety when he signed paperwork as a false elector for former President Donald Trump. Andrew Hitt made that statement during an interview last night on CBS's 60 Minutes. He said he worried what Trump supporters might do if a court later overturned the 2020 election results and he had not signed. He says he was, quote, tricked into participating in the scheme. He claimed he would not have done so if he knew it was part of a broader effort to change election results.
Whenever anybody sees our text messages, our emails, our documents, they understand, they know, their conclusion is we were tricked.
Hitt was one of 10 false electors who signed documents in 2020 claiming that Donald Trump actually won Wisconsin. The group admitted in a settlement late last year that their actions were used in efforts to overturn the election results. Coming up, we'll have more information on tomorrow's elections across the state. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Mark your calendars for February 20th, Wisconsin's spring primary. That's tomorrow. The primary is for local nonpartisan offices, depending on where you live. Joining us now to talk about everything voters need to know to cast a ballot is Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. Megan, thanks for joining us on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So the spring primary is not where we're selecting presidential candidates. So what exactly are people going to be voting on tomorrow?
So tomorrow's election is the spring nonpartisan primary in Wisconsin. So the nonpartisan primary, this is where you're going to select who you want to run in the general election in April for some of your local contests. So things like your alderperson, your mayor, there may be judges, town board members, county board members. So those local races mostly where they're not affiliated with a partisan party, that's what the spring elections are typically for. And so tomorrow is the primary to decide of those local candidates who will continue on to the April ballot.
There are some people who are going to vote no matter what. You know, some people take it as a point of pride. So will all Wisconsinites have elections tomorrow? And if so, how can voters find out exactly what's going to be on their ballot?
Not everyone has a primary tomorrow. As a matter of fact, there are only about 300 primaries that are happening across Wisconsin tomorrow. And Wisconsin has more than 1,850 municipalities. So most people don't have a primary tomorrow, but you can find out by going to myvote.wi.gov. And then you're going to enter in your address and it will show whether or not you have a primary tomorrow. And it'll even show you who's going to be on your ballot at tomorrow's primary election.
So the polls are opening up at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Obviously, Wisconsin is a state where people can register at the polling place. So what does someone need to bring with them if they're going to be registering at the polling place in order to vote tomorrow?
So if you need to register tomorrow, and you'll need to register if this is your first time voting in Wisconsin. You'll also need to register if your name or your address has changed. And in order to do that, first you're going to fill out a registration form with your election official tomorrow at the polls. And then you're going to need to show them a proof of residence document. So this is something with your current name an address on it. It could be something like a utility bill or a bank statement. It can even be your Wisconsin driver license or state ID card, as long as it has your current name and your current address on it. And also don't forget, whether you're registered to vote or not, everybody needs to bring a photo ID to the polls to vote.
So we recently had, I know this might not affect this particular primary because it's a little too late to vote absentee, but we've recently had a ruling on absentee ballots here in the state. Can you give us a little explainer on what that ruling was and how it could affect voting either in this primary or in the presidential primary coming up in the spring?
So the recent rulings really have to do with the witness address on an absentee ballot. So anyone that votes by absentee, they have to have a witness that is able to vouch that the person lawfully cast their ballot and that they witnessed that process. And as part of that witness process, the witness has to sign the certification, and they also have to provide their address. And so the recent court rulings were about what constitutes as an address. Can a clerk look for missing components of the address? And just last week, our 6-member bipartisan commission met in public and reviewed those court decisions and put out guidance to clerks. And so the long and short of it is, when you get your absentee ballot, make sure that you're filling it out completely. Make sure that you, as the voter, complete all of the required sections on that certification, and make sure that your witness does the same. If there's missing information from the witness's address, there are some options for the clerks to be able to make determinations about what would reasonably constitute as an address. But my best advice to everyone is make sure that you're filling out that certification on your absentee certificate completely, that you provide all of those fields to ensure that your ballot can be counted. We also have new absentee ballot certifications this year. And so your absentee ballot envelope that it comes in and that you return will look a little bit different. And it has, we think, much improved instructions and a flow to ensure that everybody is able to provide the required information and that their certification and their ballot can be counted.
Megan, we've heard a lot about election security and fairness issues since 2020, especially since former President Donald Trump's false claims of election fraud. Has the Election Commission here in Wisconsin issued any new guidance to clerks or done anything that's focused on increasing security and fairness since then?
So the commission meets on a regular basis to review, you know, processes, review court rulings, and to put out additional information to implement those court rulings. And so they've continued to do that. That being said, there haven't been any huge changes that have been implemented, but there are certainly some things that the commission has done, like new certificate envelopes for absentee voting that have gone through a very thorough statutory review, also ensuring that those certificates meet the implementation standards for recent litigation, and just making sure that they're more usable so that voters and witnesses are sure to provide the information that's required so that their ballots can be counted. And what the commission is doing and what the commission has done in previous elections is just ensuring people know how to engage with the election process, and that people know that you can observe any part of the election process, and making sure that those opportunities are well publicized. So whether you want to be a part of the tests that happen of the voting equipment before election day, or part of the audits that happen after election day, or part of watching the process as absentee ballots are counted at your polling place on election day, all of those things are publicly observable. And so the commission continues to encourage people to engage with the election process and see firsthand for yourselves how securely Wisconsin elections are run.
Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And you can check out WPR.org for more information on how to vote in Wisconsin and how we plan to cover this year's elections. We also want to hear from you, so visit the website to tell us which issues you care about. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Bridget Bowden and John Davis put the show together behind the scenes today. We'll be right back in this podcast feed every single weekday morning for the foreseeable future, so just hit subscribe and we'll be there automatically waiting for you when you wake up. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.